When you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street, USA.
I left it there with a girl named Eileen. I kept her serving donuts till all she had were gone. I sat there dunking donuts till she caught on. I must go back to the army routine, and every doughboy knows what that will mean. A soldier boy without a heart has two strikes on him from the start, and my heart's at the stage door canteen.
Maybe you're one of those besotted doughboys or noble veterans of the Second World War who left their heart at the stage door canteen. Hello, I'm Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM Peconic Public Broadcasting. And today will be our Memorial Day broadcast where we'll look back fondly on that particular era of World War II. And I'm thrilled to announce that this is the first time we will have a guest in our studio. And I couldn't have picked a better guest than Ted Chapin. Ted may be known to some of you as the president of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization. He may be known to others of you as the author of what is, for my money, one of the very best theatrical memoirs I know, Everything Was Possible, The Making of Follies. And he is also the producer and host of a wonderful evening at the 92nd Street Y last spring called Stage Door Canteen, which has a really wonderful album attached to it. So welcome to Broadway to Main Street, Ted.
Well, thank you, Larry. I'm honored to be a guest and the first guest, and I can say I'm a fan of the program. I can tell anybody who lives on the Connecticut border how long down 95 you can hear the program. Bridgeport gets iffy.
Yeah, I've heard Bridgeport gets iffy, and it may not just be the radio. Broadway to Main Street is actually a little bit of a pun on a movie that Rodgers and Hammerstein appeared in called Main Street to Broadway.
That's true. Actually, somebody just gave me a DVD of that movie. It's one of my favorite bad movies. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, I can't wait to steal it from you. So tell me a little bit about why you were interested in this particular era, which was such an evocative time, not only in American history, but in pop music and in Broadway music.
Well, I assume that many of your listeners know the wonderful lyrics and lyricists program at the 92nd Street Y in New York. And Deborah Grace Weiner, who runs it, had been talking to me on and off for a couple of years about hosting one of them. And we had a lunch in which we tossed about ideas. And somehow the idea of Broadway and World War II came up. And what I thought was appealing was not only to show the effect that World War II had on Broadway, but equally important, what was actually going on during those years on Broadway. Because it turned out to be a very fertile period. And there were things going on that had nothing to do with the war. And as the war went on and Broadway continued, there were both things that were enormously patriotic and influenced by the feeling in this country about the war. But there were also shows that appeared to have nothing to do with the war, but that were escapist entertainment.
One of the things that always struck me was right before that day, December 7th, 1941, I think was a Sunday, and Irving Berlin had an interview in the New York Times saying, oh, in the beginning of the 41-42 season, I'm going to do a review and it's going to be fun, it's going to be great. And everything, of course, changed on a dime. Why don't we listen to the kind of highly sophisticated show along with Pal Joey, which had opened in 1940. The other sort of sophisticated show, I think, of the period was Lady in the Dark, which was about this elegant editor of a magazine, the kind of thing I think that was going to be swept away after December 7th. So here's Gertrude Lawrence singing the lyrics of Ira Gershwin and the music of Kurt Vile from Lady in the Dark.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Where are we, Beekman?
Columbus Circle, Miss Elliot.
Oh, would you get me my blue soapbox, please? I want to make a speech. There are many minds in circulation, believing in reincarnation. In me you see one who doesn't agree, challenging possible affronts. I believe I'll only live once, and I want to make the most of it. If there's a party, I want to be the host of it. If there's a haunted house, I want to be the ghost of it. If I'm in town, I want to be the toast of it. I say to me every morning, you've only one life to live. So why be done in? Let's let the sun in, and gloom can jump in the rib. No use to beat on the doldrums, let's be imaginative. Each day is numbered, no good when slumbered, with only one life to live. Why let the goblins upset you? One smile and see how they run. And what does worrying net you? Nothing, nothing is to have fun. All this may sound kind of hackneyed, but it's the best I can give. Soon comes December, so please remember, you've only one life to live, just one life to live. Just laugh at old man depression and send him into oblivion. Then you're the winner, I'm off to dinner. I've only one life to live, just one life to live.
So soon after that, we declared war with the Axis powers and everything changed and Irving Berlin stepped up to the plate. Do you want to talk about that, Ted?
Sure. After having, as you mentioned, announced in the New York Times that he was going to do a new music box review, Irving Berlin changed his thought and decided to do a musical called This is the Army for the war effort. And I think it's astonishing that he got the proper people in the military to agree to it. And 6 months later, on July 4th, of course, This is the Army opened at the Broadway Theater with a cast of 300,
wow,
all enlisted men, and it was the first integrated unit in the United States Army.
Now, the concert you did at the 92nd Street Y takes your title from that song, "Stage Door." I Left My Heart at the Stage Door Canteen, which we heard opening the broadcast. Would you like to, the first two songs we're going to hear are from This Is the Army, correct?
Yes, yes. No sooner had Deb Weiner asked me to do a lyrics and lyricist that I grabbed Andy Einhorn, who was one of the, I think, more brilliant young musical directors around, and said, you have to be my partner. We have to choose the songs and the people and put them together. And he was wonderful. Andy was great at figuring out what songs could go together, sometimes in slightly surprising fashions. But in this instance, these are two songs from This Is the Army that he wove together in a very good way, including the song that was written for the African-Americans in the company called What the Well-Dressed Man in Harlem Will Wear, which is kind of a wartime answer to Putting on the Ritz. You know, putting on the Ritz, they were putting on their top hat, white tie, and tails, and in the war, the colors are different.
A bunch of frightened rookies were listening filled with awe. They listened while a sergeant was laying down the law. They stood there at attention, their faces turning red. The sergeant looked them over, and this is what he said. This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephones. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. This is the Army, Mr. Green.
This is the Army, Mr. Green.
We like the barracks nice and clean.
We like the barracks nice and clean.
You had a housemaid
so
to clean your floor, but she won't help you out anymore. Do what the buglers command.
This is the Army, Mr.
Brown.
You and your baby went to town.
You and your baby went to town.
She has you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore.
Do what the buglers command. They're in the Army and not in a band. This is the Army, Mr. Jones. No private rooms or telephones. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't have it there anymore. No, you won't have it there anymore.
There's a change in fashion that shows in the Lenox Avenue clothes. Mr. Dude has disappeared with his flashy tie. You'll see in the Harlem Esquire what the well-dressed man will desire when he's strutting down the street with his sweetie pie. Hey, suntan, shade of cream, or an olive drab color scheme. That's what the well-dressed man in Harlem will wear. Dressed up in ODs with a tin hat for overseas. That's what the well-dressed man in Harlem will wear. Top hat, white tie and tails no more. They've been put away till after the war. If you wanna know, take a look at Brown Bomber Joe. That's what the well-dressed man in Harlem will wear.
This is the Army, Mr. Joe.
Yeah, that's what the well-dressed man is.
tie and tails no more. They've been put away till after the war. Hey, if you want to know, take a look at Brown Bomber Joe. That's what the
was from the cast album of Stage Door Canteen. It reminds me, Ted, that Irving Berlin was actually a rather progressive person. You think about, say, Supper Time from his Thousands Cheer, and he was always looking out for ethnic minorities wherever they were during his career.
Perhaps it comes from having been born in Russia and not speaking English and being the sort of classic American story of pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. And you're absolutely right. He had a very, very clear conscience about the folks around him.
Well, the folks around World War II, of course, were in the Army and in the Navy and the Marines, but we have two songs coming up about the people at home who had to serve on the home front and the kind of dedication they had to make to keep the boys overseas sort of whole and fighting for the right cause.
Yeah, these are two songs, again, when I did the lyrics and lyricist and Andy Einhorn thought of these two songs being put together. One is actually from This Is the Army with My Head in the Clouds, one of the enlisted men up in the air, thinking about his girl back home, and the other one, which is actually from Harold Rome's Call Me Mister after the war, called Along With Me, originally the guy in the Army having his girlfriend's photograph, but also later on the girlfriend having the guy's photograph. So he put it together in a nice way that complements themselves, and it's Anderson Davis and Betsy Wolf, who are great performers.
What does a flyer think of when he's up there in the sky? Ask any army pilot, and he'll answer with a sigh. While I'm there in the air with my head in the clouds, I think of someone I love. And I know down below she is thinking of me while I am up there above. When the night is clear and the bombardier drops a bomb that's wired for sound, how I yearn to return with my head in the clouds to the one I love on the ground.
I carried you along in my pocket, that picture that we took 4th of July. And when nights were long and everything seemed wrong, you'd be surprised at the things you'd say in the craziest way. You've always been along with me, though we were far apart.
Blue again,
oh, darling.
beautiful performance from Stage Door Canteen. I'm sure anyone listening who loves classic American theater music and knows a little bit about the world would love a copy of that album, Ted. How do they get it?
Thank you. It's on DRG Records and wherever you can buy. It's still a CD. You can still buy a CD, Amazon or wherever. And actually, the cover art is something that's fun because we stole the idea from the sheet music of This Is the Army, where the letters are all made out of sort of figures. And the great art director at DRG was able to take the lettering from This Is the Army and make enough so it reads Stage Door Canteen, but it's kind of fun.
And we don't have to worry about a shellac rationing for this one in the electronic world. Well, our next song is about rationing, which a lot of people, maybe our listeners, dealt with if they were living during that time on the home front. Johnny Mercer was one of the most successful lyricists of the wartime period. He was out in Hollywood, and he founded Capitol Records. He also had a recording career, and even though he was a very dignified gentleman from Savannah, Georgia, a white gentleman, he was voted at one point during the war the number one African-American singer on the radio. People didn't, because he had that wonderful Southern style. So here is a song he wrote himself, music and lyrics, about what people had to deal with during rationing during the war. Here's Johnny Mercer.
This modern age we're going through has got me in a spin. I ain't too bright to start with. Now here's the state I'm in. For anything and everything, there's stamps you got to use. The D's and G's are groceries. I think the T's are shoes. You have to be a FBI man to figure out all the clues. And that's the situation when you got them duration blues. The Army and the Draft Board keeps me kind of mixed up too. You're in if you is 1A, but if you ain't, then who are you? The 3 A's is essential, and the 4 F's all have asthma. 2B gents is in defense, or else they're giving plasma. Or else, man, you ain't got nothing that the armed services can use. That is the unfortunate situation when you got them duration blues. Food will win the war, they say, and that's okay with me. But when I go to the corner store, what do I see? There's Spam and Wham and Devil Ham and something new called Zoom. Just take it home and heat it to the temperature of the room. And you can bake it, flake it, cake it, make it, take it any way you choose. Jack, that's the situation when you got the duration blues. And then on top of everything, the taxes roll around. I went to see the income man, and this is what I found. Oh, you multiplies the profits and incorporates the loss, deducting all expenditures and anything else you come across. Then, if you satisfy the government, it's 10-1, the little woman through. Oh, that's my situation. I got them duration blues.
Johnny Mercer. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and on today's special Memorial Day broadcast, I'm very pleased to welcome Ted Chapin, the president of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization. Now, Ted, since Rodgers and Hammerstein isn't exactly your middle name, but pretty darn close.
I'm the ampersand.
You're the ampersand. Well done. Perhaps you'd like to talk about the one show among many, many interesting shows of the early 40s. It really summed up the spirit of the home front and the two shows that Rogers had running simultaneously.
Certainly. You said earlier that or we talked about in the beginning, how there were some shows during the war that appeared to have nothing to do with the war, and Oklahoma is certainly one of those. At least it started life that way, because it seemed to be a fairly homespun idea that, interestingly, neither Lorenz Hart nor Jerome Kern, with whom Rogers and Hammerstein were still working, were the slightest bit interested in making a musical of Green Grow the Lilacs. So as a one-off, Rogers and Hammerstein wrote this show, which became Oklahoma. And what I think nobody was planning on was that somehow, since it opened in the middle of the war, it seemed to embody everything that we were fighting for. I mean, Agnes DeMille was eloquent on the subject of what it was like to be in the theater and seeing GIs who would be allowed in to stand in the back of the theater and just weeping because this story of America, middle of the country, kind of captured the essence of what this country was at that time. So it had, not only did it have an effect on the theater world, and, you know, as people have said, it was the show that pulled all the ideas that people were experimenting with together into a hit show, but it really was something that became the essence of what World War II era was like. And when that show opened, a Rogers and Hart show was actually playing, excuse me, across the street. But because Oklahoma hit so big, both Rogers and Hammerstein felt an obligation to their partners who had stepped aside to let this happen. So Rogers...
So I just want to clarify. So some people may have thought that Larry Hart died and that's why Richard Rogers went on to Oscar Hammerstein. But actually, it was Hammerstein that was the outlier at that point, not Larry Hart.
Exactly. And we are told that Larry Hart was having trouble getting it together to work and you know, that Rogers was the disciplinarian who liked working and Hart tended to be the guy who liked to drink and carouse. But in order to keep the relationship together with Larry Hart, Rogers agreed to do a revival of A Connecticut Yankee, which opened in November following Oklahoma. And for that, Rogers and Hart wrote the last songs that they ever wrote. And one of them, Can't You Do a Friend a Favor, to me feels like the transition song, because in a lot of ways it feels more Rogers and Hammerstein than Rogers and Hart. But there it was in a Rogers and Hart show that opened after Oklahoma.
I often found it interesting that Oklahoma was at the St. James, which is 44th and 8th, and Connecticut Yankee was at the Martin Beck, which is 45th and 8th. So I like to think the two shows were literally the crossroads of the Rogers and Hammerstein, Rogers and Hart matrix.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So let's hear those two duets from those two shows back to back.
Why do they think up stories that link my name with yours?
Why do the neighbors gossip all day behind their doors?
I have a way to prove what they say is quite untrue. Here is the gist, a practical list of don'ts for you. Don't throw bouquets at me. Don't please my folks too much. Don't laugh at my jokes too much. People will say we're in love. Don't sigh and gaze at me. Your sighs are so like mine. Your eyes mustn't glow like mine. People will say we're in love. Don't start collecting things. Give me my rose and
with me. say we're in love. Don't take my arm too much. Don't keep your hand in mine. Your hand feels so grand in mine. People will say we're in love. Don't dance all night with me till the stars fade from above. They'll see it's all right with me.
Of your hand, if you're lucky, you have two. I have just two friends, that is all that I demand, only two. Just me and you. And a good friend heeds a friend when a fellow needs a friend. Can't you do a friend a favor?
You can count your friends on the fingers of your hand. If you're lucky, you have none. For you have no friends where the flame of love is fanned. That's the time to trust no one. Let a fellow kiss a friend, and he'll start to miss a friend. Can't you do a friend a favor? Let us part the way we meet. Life with you would have a flavor, sweet at times yet bittersweet. I'm no dish you ought to savor. Feast your eye on something new. I will do my friend a favor. I'll be just a friend to you.
This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and I'm very happy to welcome my friend, who's doing me a favor, Ted Chapin, the president of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization, and he's going to set up our next song.
Okay, this is an Irving Berlin song from This Is the Army, the show that he wrote and opened on July 4th, 1942. It became its own little cottage industry, and it toured around the country and then around the world, and Berlin added songs to it as it went along. And allegedly, this song was inspired by him being in Hollywood and having a lunch with Cecil B. DeMille, at which DeMille talked about Goebbels was whining because the Nazis were having reverses on their Russian front. And I guess Berlin or DeMille one said to the other, gee, I wonder what the German people feel about that. So this is a song, and actually the introduction to it is uncredited Andy Einhorn, our musical director, who was a boy soprano in his youth.
Dr. Goebbels is on the air today. Let's tune in and get Berlin and hear what he has to say.
When the Russians push us back, we don't like it. In the winter they attack, we don't like it. When they call us ruthless murderers, we didn't make a fuss. But now they're invading, they can't do that to us. Casablanca's full of Yanks, we don't like it. They've got ships and planes and tanks, we don't like it. Now we're winning as we should. Hitler speaks und das ist gut. But when Hitler don't make speeches, we don't like it. When the RAF begins, we don't like it. When they fly above Berlin, we don't like it. When they showered us with paper, why we didn't make a fuss. But bombs make explosives, they can't do that to us. Every cupboard here is bare, we don't like it. And we got no clothes to wear, we don't like it. Ermin Göring had to speak in the same suit twice last week. And when Göring can't change costumes, we don't like it. When the German troops retreat, we don't like it. When the Allied nations meet, we don't like it. They've got soldiers who are not afraid of Heini, Fritz and Gus. That's not how we planned it, they can't do that to us. In Japan our hands are tied, we don't like it. Mussolini's on our side, we don't like it. And we cannot come to terms with the French, the dirty worms. For it seems the worms are turning, we don't like it. When the Russians push us back, we don't like it. In the winter they attack, we don't like it. When they called us ruthless murderers, we didn't make a fuss. But now they're invading, they can't do that to us. Gets a blanket full of Yanks, we don't like it. Take a ship and plate and tanks, we don't like it. While we're winning as we should, Hitler speaks and does his good. But when Hitler don't make speeches, we don't like it.
Thank you.
was Teresa Stratus singing a very rare collaboration between, of all people, Kurt Vile, who of course was a great emigre from Germany who really found his own way during World War II. He was actually more patriotic than many American-born entertainers, and the lyrics were by Oscar Hammerstein II. Very strange song, Ted. Do you want to tell us what it's about?
Sure. The one hat that I wear that you didn't mention at the beginning of the program is chairman of the American Theater Wing, which sponsored the Stage Door Canteen. But they also sponsored a program during the war called the Lunchtime Follies, which is I found fascinating. It's very little remembered, but Broadway people wrote songs that were then taken out to industries and, you know, rah-rah, you know, get on the assembly line kind of songs, hence this song. And they would go to the factories and perform them for the people working as an inspirational oomph. In fact, the phrase industrial show, which became a whole thing in the 50s and 60s, where industries would hire Broadway people to sing about the fabrics or the cars. But actually, this is the first time that idea was ever it really came up from the Lunchtime Follies. They were referred to as industrials.
And I think it bears mentioning how many people, especially Oscar and Kurt Vile, how many people in the entertainment industry lent their support and their charity and wrote things and did bond drives and rallies and really took it, put their neck on the line, as it were, to support the war effort.
Yeah, and I think it's something that for our generation and younger generations to understand takes a little doing, because my parents' generation, it was a very, very different feel when this country was unified behind the war effort, that we all agreed on enemies, and we were all fighting the enemies. And it's a very, very interesting thing to look at historically and also culturally, hence this program, how the creative artists responded to a time of great unified emotion.
Well, one of the artists who participated the most, perhaps, was Irving Berlin, who not only wrote and produced This Is the Army, but actually appeared in it.
Yes.
So we have one of the most famous songs he ever wrote, and he trotted himself out in what theater was it?
The Broadway.
The Broadway theater, night after night, to deliver one of his classics.
Come on, Sleeping Beauty. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning. I've been a soldier quite a while, and I would like to state the life is simply wonderful. The army food is great. I sleep with 97 others in a wooden hut. I love them all. They all love me. It's very lovely, but oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the hardest blow of all is to hear the bugler call. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning. Someday I'm going to murder the bugler. Someday they're going to find him dead. I'll amputate his reveille and step upon it heavily and spend the rest of my life in bed.
Oh, how I hate to get up in the morning. Oh, how I'd love to remain in bed. For the heart is noble is to hear the bugle call. You gotta get up, you gotta get up, you gotta get up this morning. Someday I'm going to murder the bugler.
And then I'll get that other pup, the guy who wakes the bugler up,
and spend the rest of my life in bed.
Irving Berlin doing double, triple, quadruple duty for the war effort in World War II. Well, the war, thankfully, ground to a successful close in May and August of 1945. And what most people may not know is that there was a show actually written about the decommissioning of all these Army officers and enlisted men, which was also a big hit.
Yeah, it was Call Me Mister. And Harold Rome, who I think is underappreciated these days, wrote the score. And it's got some just fabulous songs. It was the first time, I think, that humor about the war could come in. This song, which is a favorite of mine, sung by Betty Garrett about, it's pretty self-explanatory about what it is. But it's interesting, when we did the lyrics and lyricist, Betty Garrett died like the day before we did this song for the first time. And I don't think it's been sung in a long time. So it was like our tribute to Betty Garrett.
Let's do another tribute to Betty Garrett.
Once this lunchroom was crowded the whole day long, full of laughing and wisecracks and song. Now here I stay, wasting away among the ham and eggs and cereal. Look at me, and what do you see? Another piece of surplus war material. I'm just like leftover K-rations, excess war commodity. Nobody shares, nobody cares for little surplus me. I'm just like a munitions dump spot, loaded with old TNT. No one has room, no one goes boom for little surplus me. Yesterday my life was super special, fighting off GIs galore. But today there's no one to get fresh, never a woo-woo or anymore. I'm just like a brand new PT boat with no place left to PT. Hey, you in the Pentagon, all the men you sent are gone, soldiers' pleasure bent are gone. Gee, what are you gonna do with little surplus me? I used to have a major give me the biggest rush. Now he's back at his old job. Knock, 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 it's Fuller Brush. That handsome, dashing captain, a wolf with manners foxy, gone back to his profession. This way, please, don't crowd at the Roxy. That mousy little private who never got my range, I hear is back at his job. President of some sort of institution, the New York Stock Exchange. They make vases of vases from old shell cases. Swords are all plowshares to be. But oh, Mr. Truman, please, no one sends me new men. Please try to be more human, please. See, what are you gonna do with lonely, deserted, unreconverted little surplus me?
One of the things that the end of the war ushered in was actually a whole new generation of Broadway songwriters, some of whom had been spending the 5 years during the war in Hollywood. Here's two of them, Julie Stein and Sammy Kahn. They wrote one of the most important end of war songs in American consciousness. It's sung by June Christie, backed up by the Stan Kenton Orchestra.
Just kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seem without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Just boss. Kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. Haven't felt like this, my dear, since can't remember when. It's been a long, long time. You'll never know how many dreams I dreamed about you, or just how empty they all seem without you. So kiss me once, then kiss me twice, then kiss me once again. It's been a long, long time. A long, long time.
Well, it may have been a long, long wait for those soldiers to come home, but our time went very quickly here today, Ted. Where's the time all gone to?
Someone once wrote.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about our final selection and its personal reference to you?
Well, it's hard to do any of these kind of shows and not end with some other time from On the Town, because it, first of all, is a beautiful song, but it captures the pathos, I think, and just the emotion of what that time was like. I have a special fondness for this recording of it because it came from the time when my father, Skylar Chapin, ran the Masterworks division of Columbia Records. And it was a studio recreation in the early 60s with members of the original cast. I think John Reardon was the only one who was not a member of the original cast in it. And remember, this was a time when Leonard Bernstein and the New York Philharmonic were flying high. So, you know, he was conducting on his musical with lyrics by Betty Comden and Adolph Green, with Betty Comden, Adolph Green, Chris Alexander, Nancy Walker. It's a wonderful recording. It has such an incredible spirit that I think it just delivers the show.
And the song was written in 1944 for On the Town, and it really captured this pathos, as you said, of life during wartime. And the lyrics are surprisingly mature for that period. And I remember in the 1980s, I worked with Betty Comden on a revival of On the Town. And someone said, gee, all this stuff about waking up in the morning and seeing you there without your makeup, what was that about? And she said, honey, we used to screw back then, too. So that little bit of bittersweet gall that they always added to their stuff. This is Larry Maslon on a Memorial Day broadcast, and I'm just so thrilled that I could invite along Ted Chapin to share his memories, both as an artist and as a producer and as a writer, and this wonderful album he has called Stage Door Canteen.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's been my pleasure. Again, I'm a fan of the program, and now I hope I can continue to be a fan of the program.
You'll listen to it all the more. Okay, here is On the Town.
24 hours can go so fast. You look around, the day has passed. When you're in love, time is precious stuff. Even a lifetime isn't enough. Where has the time all gone to? Haven't done half the things we want to. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. This day was just a token. Too many words are still unspoken. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun is starting, comes the time for parting. But let's be glad for what we've had and what's to come. There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up. Never have seen
dishes. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Can't satisfy my craving. Never have watched you while you're shaving. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time. Just when the fun's beginning, comes the final ending.
Haven't had time to wake up, seeing you there without your makeup. Oh well, we'll catch up some
just
other
when
time.
The fun is starting.
Just when the fun is
coming, comes the
time,
the
parting,
parting.
Let's be glad for what we have to
the time all gone to. This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.